Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, this week we are on week 8, taking Christ as our trespass offering for God's purpose. Praise the Lord. So how about we first read through Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1 to 7. Chapter 5, verse 1 to 7. Amen. Amen. And if anyone sins when he hears the voice of accusation, and he is a witness, he is a sin or knowing about a matter, if he doesn't speak up, then he shall bear his iniquity. Or if anyone touches any unclean thing, whether the carcass of an unclean animal, or the carcass of an unclean cattle, or the carcass of unclean swarming beasts, and it escapes his notice, and he is unclean, then he will be guilty. Or if he touches uncleanness of man, whatever his uncleanness is with, which he becomes unclean, and he escapes his notice, when he comes to know it, then he will be guilty. Or if anyone swears rashly with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatever is that a man utters rashly with an oath, and it escapes his notice, when he comes to know it, then he shall be guilty in one of these things. And when he is guilty in one of these things, he shall confess that in which he has sinned, and he shall bring his trespass offering to Jehovah for his sin, which he has committed. A female from the flock, a sheep or a goat, as a sin offering, and the priest shall make expiation for him on account of his sin. And if he cannot afford a lamb, then he shall bring as his trespass offering to Jehovah, for that in which he has sinned, two turtle doves or two young pigeons, one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering. Amen. So in previous message we see Christ is the reality of our sin offering. And in this message we are talking about taking Christ as our trespass offering for God's purpose. So in the moment we need to see clearly we are applying Christ as the trespass offering. It's not for our personal enjoyment. It's for God's purpose. So we need to have this review. We are taking Christ as our trespass offering. It's for God's purpose.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So when we're talking about trespasses, what are we referring to? So in Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1 to 4, we see in this paragraph, they mention a lot of unclean things. Mm-hmm. The animals, different kind of animals. Actually, these unclean things refers to people we meet, we touch. Mm. So, and in verse 1, we see we shouldn't testify, if we hear something, we didn't testify the truth concerning what we know, express the fact that we are not absolute for God. So to fail in this matter is to be dishonest and unfaithful. And this verse actually deals with lying, which involves Satan, the father of sins. And in verse 2, we see the word carcass actually means death. So the different kinds of animals in this verse typify different kinds of people. And the carcass of these animals signify the different kinds of spiritual deaths that may spread among God's people in the church life. So regardless of what is kind, death is unclean. And death, actually in the eyes of God, death is even worse than sins. So we need to pay attention to this. And in verse 3, we see the uncleanness of man here signifies the uncleanness of the natural man, the natural life. Amen. So everything that is issued from the natural man, whether good or bad, mm-hmm. actually it is natural. So this is also a type of a trespass. So it is not accepted by God. And in verse 4, we see to speak rashly before God, expressing our opinion in a hastily, careless, and reckless way, indicates that we do not live for God and do not fear God. So this is another type of trespass.
Amen.
So all this verse shows us we need to, in our daily living or church life, we need to pay attention to the word we speak, and even to the word we hear, to the testimony, and to the people we meet, to the people we deal with. We need to pay attention to this. And also, in previous message, we see the sin offering. We talk about a sin. So in this message, we'll talk about trespass offering. We talk about trespasses. So what is the difference between sin and trespasses? What is the difference between applying Christ as the sin offering and as the trespasses offerings? So actually in verse 7 it talks about when we sinned, we need to offer the trespass offering to Jehovah for that in which he has seen two turtle doves or two young pigeons, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. So we see the source of our sin and the reason for our sin. That's why we need to offer a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. And the footnote says two turtle doves or two young pigeons, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering, for my trespass offering. This signifies that the source of every trespass is an inward sin in our flesh. So that's why we need to offer the sin offering. And the reason for our trespass is our not living absolutely for God. So that's why we need to offer the burnt offering. So the sin offering and the burnt offering, they form the trespass offering.
Amen.
So this is the reason and the source of our sins.
Amen.
So actually, in our daily living, in our church life, we have a lot of wrongdoings. We may lie, when we deal with people, we may have some wrongdoings. So what should we do when we have these wrongdoings? So in verse 5 it says, when he is guilty in one of these things, he shall confess that in which he has sinned. So it shows us we need to confess our sin. That means we need to apply Christ as our trespass offering. And actually, this confession in the divine light, we wash us, we nourish us. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And also we see the result when we apply Christ as trespass offering. First, when we apply Christ as a trespass offering, it will bring us to the divine light. And actually, this is a way to drink of the water, to drink
Amen.
The living water
Amen.
For us to become the new Jerusalem.
Amen.
So it is really not a small thing for us to apply Christ as a trespass offering.
Amen.
Actually, it's a way for us to drink the living water.
Amen.
The more we confess, actually, the more we come to the fountain of life
Amen.
To take
Amen.
The living water.
Amen.
And second, when we apply Christ as a trespass offering, and this is a way for us to keep ourselves in the fellowship of God, and in the fellowship of life for our growth in life or into the maturity in life.
Amen.
So the more we confess, actually, the more we'll be brought into the light. The light brings the life. So the more we confess, the more we'll grow in life. And
Amen.
Taking Christ as a trespass offering, we will also receive the forgiveness of sins, issues our fearing God and loving God. So,
Amen.
When we apply Christ as a trespass offering, it will result us for fear God. That doesn't make us audacious. That doesn't mean we can, we have a trespass offering. That doesn't mean that we can sin every day, or we can treat this like hastily. Actually, when we apply Christ as a trespass offering, it will cause us to fear God.
Amen.
And it will cause us to love God.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
That's right.
And also, we see when we minister in Christ as a sin offering, life to sins kills the germs, destroys the problems, and maintains the oneness of the Spirit.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, this may we all take this in this message to our daily life, to make a thorough confession to the Lord, to repent to Him, to apply, to enjoy the trespass offering
Amen.
In our daily living
Amen.
For God's purpose.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
title says, Taking Christ as Our Trespass Offering for God's Purpose.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I'm so many years old. And you're, you know, another number of years old. So, according to all my years old, and according to your years old, this is not a big deal. It's not, to me, it's not a big, the trespass offering, it's not a big deal. But the title says, it is a big deal.
Amen.
So, when we, if we spend time to, so according to our natural life, the trespass is not a big deal, and the trespass offering is not a big deal. But according to God's view, it accomplishes His purpose. So, for example, consider some in here. There's different portions in the. There are different portions in the Word. So, for example, John 4. In John 4, this section is concerning the trespass offering. So, from John 4, what do we see? Well, the Lord came to a woman in the daylight. And so He is the light. So I appreciated that. He came to the Lord, He came to this woman at noon in the daylight. And this section talks about as we take Christ as our trespass offering, we're in the light. We're in the light.
Amen.
And as we confess in the light, taking Christ as our trespass offering, what happens? Well, according to John 4, we drink the living water. So, in my X number of years, I would just say, "Oh, okay, I did something, so I need to confess, and then that's all." But according to the divine revelation, as we confess and as we take Christ as our trespass offering, we're drinking the living water. We're in the light. We're drinking the living water. And what is the issue is?
New Jerusalem.
New Jerusalem.
Amen.
So the issue is the building of the body and the consummating in the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
How about the second portion? The second portion is from 1 John chapter 1. So I wouldn't... Anyway, 1 John chapter 1 shows us that the trespass offering... What? The fellowship. The fellowship is not something that we have by birth. It's not something that we have by birth. It's something that has to be reported to us. And we get brought into. So, and we need to maintain, we need to stay in the fellowship. So the trespass offering, by our taking Christ as the trespass offering, we maintain the fellowship that was reported to us,
right,
and that we were brought into.
Amen.
So it's not something that we have by our birth. It's something special. It's something wonderful. How about the third portion? The third portion was from Luke chapter 7 and Psalm 130. So these were very wonderful to me. So if in my X number of years and in your Y number of years, the trespass offering may be a small thing. It probably is. So, but that's because we're careless. We're careless. So in our carelessness, we do not fear God. We don't respect God.
Amen.
We don't fear God. But Psalm 130, verse 4 says, if you read that, it's only a few verses, that psalm. But it says, as we take Christ as our trespass offering, this is so that we would fear Jehovah.
Amen.
That we would have a, we would, this is to be sobered up.
Right.
This is to be, in our being, in our living, we need to be sobered up. We need to be fearful and watchful so that we can be in life and in the fellowship. Anyway, in the second, Luke 7, so I just appreciated these portions to show that the trespass offering is something very, very deep.
Amen.
So I have to stop, but there's six or seven or however many Roman numerals Each one of these Roman numerals is a very wonderful, marvelous, deep, and very significant portion of the word concerning Christ as the trespass offering. Mm-hmm. But Luke, just to finish, Luke 7 talks about the one. So we, how precious to be a sinner. How precious to be a sinner, to confess our sins, and then the result is we love the Lord. We love the Lord. So our taking Christ as the trespass, not only love the Lord a little bit, but love the Lord a lot.
Amen.
So our taking Christ as the trespass offering, now we can start to see that from these portions of the Word, that taking Christ as the trespass offering is for the fulfillment of God's purpose.
Amen.
So the trespass offering is something very significant. It's very meaningful. It's deep. It's full of weight.
Right.
It's full of God's economy and the accomplishment of God's economy.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I enjoy day two. What he says, this part here talks about the table, right? He said we might feel that we have been approved to partake of the table, but we are concerned about others who have been committing sins. We may know of some saints who have been committing sins and still come to the Lord's table. What shall we do? We must remember that Paul's word in 1 Corinthians 11 tell us to prove ourselves, to test ourselves for approval. It does not tell us that we have to prove or test others. We should leave others to the Lord and not to be their judge. We should only judge ourselves and not to judge others.
Right.
I will share with my son about this, right? I have a burden about the Lord's table every Sunday. We must see the difference between the sinful nature, which is in singular, and the sinful deeds, which is in sins, in plural. Mm-hmm. Right? And the sinful nature we're born with. We're born in the tree of knowledge, good and evil. We have that nature when we're born. The sinful deeds are the sins that we commit every day. Now, when we come to the table, I notice many saints. Sometimes I've seen some young people, and even my son and others. Sometimes we don't take the bread. The reason is because sometimes we think that we have sinned this week and we have offended the Lord, right? But if we think about it, we sin every day. Just not to be absolute for the Lord every day is a sin. So we all sinners, not only because of our nature, but because we don't make the Lord absolute. We are not absolute for Him. We can't leave the burn off.
Amen.
Right? And so this is what I tell my son, because I know my son likes to play, he has his friends, he do things, right? Worldly things. You know? I say, son, we all sinners. You can come and take the bread and the wine. But before you do it, tell the Lord, forgive me for any offense.
Amen.
Forgive me if I haven't been absolute for you. I come to the Lord's table and repenting of my sins. That's a trespassing of sins. Now, and I tell him, don't be afraid to take the bread and wine. Just tell the Lord, we pray before we come here. He said, let's pray and tell the Lord, forgive me for everything I have done during the week. You know, this we had to see that the sins in singular and the sins in plural, the sinful deeds we have, we don't even need to sin to be sinners. You know, we automatically sin. That's the reason we sin, because we're born in that nature, right? And so this is the burden I have. We all committed sin. You might think you didn't kill, you didn't lie, you didn't do nothing, but actually just for not being absolute for the Lord every single day in our life, we're sinners. And I say to the Lord, I tell the Lord always in my prayers, make me absolute. I know I'm a sinner. I now make mistakes. Just make even mistakes. Simple. Make any mistakes that we commit. Any mistake that we commit. You tell Lord, forgive me for my wrongdoings. Right? And this is what we have to do every day. You see, the sinful nature wants to control us. But let's not let this sinful nature control our life, you know, because the Lord had defeated the enemy on the cross. The old man is being nailed on the cross. So we don't need to live with this. See, of course the world is pulling us. The temptations are pulling us. We see a lot of garbage in the world. We see a lot of things bringing us to see this, to see that. You don't even want to see suddenly you're on your computer, you're on your phone, suddenly things pop up. So TV, I work in New York. And New York regular TV shows so much. At least in some New York, some other states, they prohibit some things. But in some places, I mean, everything is there just for you. You don't even want to see it. You don't even want to watch. And suddenly, a lot of garbage come out. So this is one thing we have to do. You tell the Lord, Lord, don't let the enemy, that nature, control my life. Please, Lord. What's the key for this? Like Brother One Day shared. The key is what? Pray. We get up in the morning, pray the word, pray. Trust me, your day would be easier.
Amen.
Your day, if I don't pray in the morning, my life would be miserable during the day. So just pray to the Lord every morning. You read the word. Just read at least one verse. I know sometimes it's difficult. People get up, I get up and in a rush. But you actually, sometimes I do this. I tell my son, just open the word. Just go to any verse. Tell Lord, give me something. I just go and tell the Lord, give me something. Right? But it's good to read the morning watch. It's on the website, on the Piscataway website. If you don't have the morning revival, it's there. Mm-hmm. You're just streaming it. Read it. Read one day, read one. So this is all. This is what we have to do. Pray every day. And the enemy, this sinful nature that we carry, will not win. Praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
Trespass it
off.
Amen. Amen. I appreciate these weeks, messages, because it's really bring to me the attention of all the offerings. Mm-hmm. And the significance of all these offerings. Yeah, because in our daily practice, we may maybe pay attention to reading the words, to prayer, and even to preach the gospel. But I confess, I seldom, maybe just find some excuse to say I'm too busy. But I seldom, practice this, confessing my sins. Mm-hmm. Even sometimes I confess, it's just a very general way, just, oh Lord, just your precious blood cover cleanse me and clean me, just in a very general way. But here in the messages it said you can't confess your sin in a too general way. You have to confess detail, otherwise you won't be cleansed. Just like in our daily life, I clean my house. Yeah, you can find out you can never clean the whole house thoroughly. And if you notice something dirty, if you ignore it, you say, okay, I'm too busy now, maybe I'll do it later. You will find out you'll never come back and do it. So your house will be always dirty there. So the good practice will be if you notice anywhere is dirty, it's not good, just do it.
Amen.
Yeah, as long as you are not really tangled by other things, just do it. Yeah, just I think even in our earthly life, we need to practice and learning. So much more in our spiritual life, we really need to learn and practice. And I really appreciate this. In day one, it said, every man will have to render account in the day of judgment of every idle word that they speak. It is possible to deceive man, but you cannot deceive God. If we mean business with him, we need to repent and make a thorough confession. So I think this word really touched me. If you mean business with him, yeah, doesn't matter in our earthly life or spiritual life, we need to mean business. Otherwise, we can never improve and never grow in our life.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I really enjoyed this week. When I read it, I do have a lot of questions. As young people, you don't have any questions? Then you are very spiritual. Because when I read it, it's like something is that clear, but something become very confused. But I think this week's message really exposed us, because on the day two, it said that, oh Lord, that we need to love, the primary thing is to love all the saints.
Amen.
Whether they are good or bad, with the same love.
Amen. Amen.
This is like close to impossible. Seriously, it's really not. We are so easy to love something, somebody, but it's so easy with our nature way. Like this person because it's very close to our personality. And we like this person because we have the same interest. But you can go on so many things. So to love the same love exposes us that we probably had to apply I don't know if it's trespass offering or the sin offering. But later on, there's another very amazing statement to me is the trespass offering eventually becomes the sin offering.
Amen.
So you will ask, how? Kenny, do you know how? Why the transgression will become the sin offering? Isn't there two separate things? How could one become the other? And when I read it, and I was like, really need the light shone on me, because I was like, why? How all this? But I realized that because we need to deal with our outward first. And then eventually, with the confession and the forgiveness from the God, we may able to change our sin, transform our sinful nature. And every week, it's very rich, and it tells us how we should go on in our church life. But then when I come to the day four, there is something I couldn't understand again, or I maybe still cannot comprehend again. It talked about three kinds of death: wild death, mild death, and subtle death. But what is all three apply to us in the church life? What are those? And then it says that, in the eyes of God, to touch death is the most serious thing. So it's more serious than the sin. But then I really want to know, did I touch all these three in my daily life? I believe we all do. We have wild death, mild death, and subtle death. Otherwise, we should be here all very lightly. In the meeting, because we touch those deaths, that's why we come to meeting. We don't see a lot of, I don't know how to say it. We should be energized when we are in the meeting.
Amen.
You know what
Amen.
I'm saying? So our meeting condition will tell us whether we touch a death or not.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently we all touch it. I'm pretty sure. So I really want to know that. So it told us we need to be sober, fair, calm and kind to consider whether we are really building up the body of Christ.
Amen.
So that means touching the death has to do with building up the body of Christ.
Amen.
So, and then come to day five, it says again, it exposes us again that we are so, ourself is so natural that
Amen.
We speak naturally, we love naturally. And this, we always, so come to the prayer, it's not just pray God, oh, I need this, I have a test, I have a job, I cannot handle. It's not just for this purpose. There is a deeper purpose, is dear our inner being. Because if we don't come to the Lord, really pour ourselves have a conversation with the Lord, there's no way our inner being will be touched. And there's no way we will be in the light. We're probably always in the dark because we don't see ourselves at all. But then again, it's quite puzzled to me. It talked about the marriage. The marriage, I don't know why they use marriage. Did you read this? About marriage, to marriage.
Yeah.
And I was like, why this has to do with all this transgression? But then, later on, when you read more, you realize that when brother use marriage, mean it's like organic unite that will produce something to clean
right.
you. But then, if you come to day six, it's such an encouragement. It gives us an example that David. I usually think David is so good, right? He is. When he was young, he's good, and then he did all the great things for God, right? But then he did something so terrible. So it tells us no one is safe.
Right.
All right? No one can be away from sin or sinful nature.
Right.
But then it encouraged me is, I never did such a thing. I never do murder. I never do, you know, those terrible things as David did. If God can forgive him, God surely can forgive me.
Right?
Right?
Right.
So I was like so encouraged that, yes, I'm not that great as God, but I'm not that bad. I'm not that great as David, but I'm not that bad as David either. So if he can be forgiven, I surely can be forgiven.
Amen.
So this is such an encouragement for us that we really need to deal with our inner man by coming to God, pray to God for our trespass we have. And don't think you are young. Of course, I make more mistakes than you are. But then it encourages us, we always come to and apply the blood to us.
Amen.
The more conscious we have, the more growth in life we will be.
Amen.
And if you do, you know, let go all the detail, and your growth rate will be really slow. But if you deal it clean as possible, you will grow dramatically.
Amen.
In life with God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for calling me out. It reminded me, in my Bible reading this week, I was in 2 Corinthians 11 and 12. And in chapter 11, Paul's just boasting about his weakness. And at first, I just really could not enter into what he was trying to say. I was very confused also. But then I read on to chapter 12, and it says in verse 9, "And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ might tabernacle over me. Therefore," verse 10, "therefore I am well pleased in weaknesses, in insults, in necessities, in persecutions, and distress on behalf of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am powerful."
Amen.
So, connecting that to day 6, I also really enjoyed that there are 3 items here: transgression, repentance, and forgiveness. And then if we put all 3 together, the result is Solomon, the one who builds the temple of God.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
What is the source of our sin? Why do we sin? It's because we have the sinful nature in us, dwelling in us. We're constituted sinners. Okay, why do we sin? It's because we're not absolute.
Amen.
So Christ really had to be the burnt offering to resolve the problem of us not being absolute for God. And he had to be the sin offering to deal and condemn sin in the flesh.
Amen.
To deal with the sinful nature that is in us. And surely, in a very joyful way, he's the trespass offering. He deals with the conduct, all the sinful deeds, and our weaknesses, our shortcomings. But there's also another reason why do we sin. We're also short of the humanity of Jesus.
Amen.
So then Christ is the meal offering. He's the sinless one. He's without blemish. His humanity is just without sin. So when we eat him, it also resolves this problem of why we sin. And so I hope, even by seeing this, Christ as the reality of these offerings, burnt offering, meal offering, sin offering, we could have some relief. Like, okay, I don't know why I trusted in myself, that I could do it all these years, and then when I fail, I'm so disappointed in myself. And I hit myself, like I condemn myself, and, you know, you're like, how could I do this after all these years? Didn't I get somewhere? Okay, it's a relief to know Christ alone is the burnt offering. He's the only one who's absolute for him. Why do we sin? It's because we're not absolute for him. Okay, and why do we also sin? Because I don't have his humanity as much brought into me, constituted in me as my humanity, as my human living. That's why we sin. And also why we sin? Well, Christ, he resolves this problem. He's a sin offering.
Amen.
Well, I was appreciative. Another matter associated. Though we are believers, we're also people kind of unbelief. That's why there's this prayer, Lord, help my unbelief.
Amen.
There are 2 things we don't believe. First thing is, we don't believe we're that bad.
Right.
The second thing is, we don't believe that Christ is that good.
Amen.
Okay, so why do we Why is our appreciation? Okay. So God is training us. Yeah. I'll go back to this. He is training his people here in this tent of meeting.
Amen.
He is training us to partake of him and to worship him.
Amen.
With Christ as the reality of the meal offering.
Amen.
We need to be perfected in our appreciation and apprehension of Christ as the trespass offering.
Amen.
And so when we see how bad we are, okay, there's from our Bible studies, I will say this, there's a sentence. To sin is a matter of defilement. But to sin, yet believing one has not sinned, and justifying it, is a matter of darkness. And we also see another line in the Bible study outlines. Decadence starts from self-complacency. Progress and hunger, sorry, hunger and thirst is a sign of progress. So we really need to have our eyes enlightened to see who we are. We are sin. Everything we do default, I appreciate Kumar shared this, our default status is we live our natural life. We live out, you know, our natural life. That is sin. I just want to read this portion from the experiencing Christ as the offering for the church meeting. It says here, don't excuse yourself by saying that you have a little weakness. Don't excuse the loss of your temper to your wife as a little weakness. Don't excuse your gossiping as a little weakness. You have to realize that all these little things come from your sinful nature.
Right.
If you don't realize this in such a thorough way, it indicates that your offering of Christ as the trespass offering is not absolute. If your offering of Christ as the trespass offering is thorough, you will realize that even a little negative speaking concerning a brother comes from your sinful nature.
Right.
That
Amen.
Is sin.
Amen.
So whatever you offer is not merely a trespass offering, it's also a sin offering.
Amen.
I'll just continue real quick. He says, I don't believe many of us have ever practiced confessing these kind of things. He said that, says, never take any excuse. Sometimes you might be standing and looking at a window. A lot of thoughts come in. You don't like your room. It's a little bit small. It doesn't have such a good bathroom. The bed is too soft. You're not talking. You're just thinking. Suddenly the question comes, what are you doing here? You're committing trespasses. Okay, we excuse these saying that these are small things. It's just natural for someone to think about. We just forget about them. This means we excuse all these things. Don't excuse yourself. Okay, this really helped me. We shouldn't excuse ourselves for even the weaknesses that we condemn.
Right.
We should take Christ as a sin offering to condemn them and to judge them in us. This is to be faithful to the Lord and to increase our partaking of Christ as a sin offering and as a trespass offering. It says, don't excuse them. You have to condemn them. You have to see that they are from your nature, from the inward sin. They are abominable to you. They are against the divine nature within you and frustrate your living Christ. So you need to offer Christ as your trespass offering and also as your sin offering.
Amen.
Why don't you stand before the window and let thoughts concerning Christ's loveliness, his greatness, his beauty go through your mind?
Yeah. Amen.
It is because you are so natural. What does it mean to be natural? It is to be sinful.
Amen.
If you are natural, you are sinful.
Right.
To say that you are natural may not sound like a bad term. Actually, it means that you're sinful.
Right.
So, I don't know. We need light from the Lord.
Amen.
We need really light from Him to show how bad we really are.
Amen.
So then we can fling ourselves to Christ and to see how good He is.
Amen.
There is a prayer, I really appreciate it, from a brother who says, we need to appreciate how good His blood is. We could pray, Lord, I apply your blood based on your evaluation of it. We could say, I apply your blood to me based on your understanding of its value, of its power, of its effectiveness,
Amen.
And of its authority. We should believe his blood takes care of all of our transgressions,
Amen.
From the little to the greatest.
Amen.
For David, it was a huge sin. But we see he repented. And he received God's forgiveness. His repentance was married to God's forgiveness. And this resulted in a person who built up this church.
Amen.
So we should not shy back when we realize we did something wrong. We should come forward to him to take him as the sin offering and the trespass offering.
Amen.
So this issues forth something that is valuable, precious to God's building. So that's why the title is Taking Christ as a Trespass Offering for God's Purpose.
Amen.
Outline, it says that in taking Christ as our trespass offering, we need to make a thorough confession of all our shortcomings, weaknesses, wrongdoings and sinfulness in order to have a conscience without offense toward God and man. I was really touched by this thorough confession this week. I think Brother Sergio talked about day two. I was also very touched by that. Actually, recently, young people and college students will sing this hymn, right? And David mentioned about this on Friday. It says, prove ourselves, and test ourselves. I think in our daily living, we really need to prove ourselves, and we really need to test ourselves. But you know, actually, usually, we want to prove others and test others. Yesterday, you know, at the home meeting, I took a fellowship with Austin about my work. So I said that, you know, actually, students need to listen to my suggestions. You know, sometimes I feel like, you know, I'm somebody, but then actually that's not the church life. I appreciate that Brother Tom mentioned about this. Actually, I think that this is a big thing, because you know, if we don't have thorough confession, if we don't apply trespass offerings, we actually cannot go on together. And we really need to see this purpose. Otherwise, you know, we were just like, okay, so today I did something wrong. I just, say sorry to the Lord, that's all. But actually, I think we need to go beyond that. Yesterday, before the young people's home meeting, Eric called me. And actually, I know that he will call me this weekend. And I think it was by the Lord's sovereignty, you know, I saw Joseph Zoe in the school on Friday. Okay, so we had like 1 hour of fellowship, and then Joseph Zoe said, Sister Pink, you know, Eric will not listen to you. Okay, then I was like, what? but then right away, the Lord actually reminds me a lot of stuff. And I have to confess how I treated Eric before and even now. And then, thank the Lord, yesterday I had another hour to practice with Megan. Okay? So Megan said, oh, you know, Eric would think this or that or blah, blah, blah. And then, then the Lord, you know, actually reminded again, you know, like how we talk to our family members. Then I had to confess more. And then 1 hour later, he called. That's why I was late for young people's home meeting yesterday. But I think that, you know, actually our family life, our family living actually exposes us the most. Because that really touched our deepest heart, you know. So sometimes we have this feeling, we have that feeling, but then actually we need to know that, you know, if we are talking about your future or my future, actually it's not your future alone. It's not my future alone. It's actually our future. So how does the Lord get us into, you know, onto that point? It really needs all of us to turn to the Lord and to confess to ourselves, and then to be balanced by brothers and sisters. So I actually praise the Lord, you know, for his leading. And I really hope that the Lord has the mercy on us so that we can go on together. And eventually, it's God's interest, it's not our interest.
Amen. Amen.
That's why he's giving us all of these different descriptions and of all the ordinances of all of these different offerings. And I appreciate as we go week by week, we just realize like how much we need to learn, how to experience Christ as all of it's not related to sin, it's actually related to death. And I was just struck again that in God's eyes, death is actually more defiling than sin. Actually, if you took the sin offering, your sin would be forgiven right away, but if you touched anything unclean, you have to wait 7 days until you were considered clean again.
Amen.
So that was just very striking to me, because we need to be on guard, to realize that everything that we touch, you know, that would come into us, we have to be careful, because
Amen.
It could defile us.
Right.
It could even be death to us, to the point where it would need some time, you know, before the Lord would be able to fellowship with us again. So, on one hand, yes, we have the provision of the blood, and we can confess, but on the other hand, we shouldn't take the blood so lightly and just say, oh, like, if I do this, that's okay. I can just confess and take the blood, and then everything is okay, because actually, we have to be careful, and we're learning how to live this holy, clean, and rejoicing life.
Amen.
And then the other thing was, actually, there was a supplemental outline that was given during this message,
right.
And it was
Amen.
Speaking of five kinds of forgiveness. And I'll just read them to you, but I was touched with the fourth one. So there's eternal forgiveness that's related to life. There's instrumental forgiveness related to the church. There's restorative forgiveness related to fellowship. There's governmental forgiveness that's related to discipline. And there's kingdom forgiveness that's related to administration. And I was actually, I think there was quite a burden here regarding this governmental forgiveness related to discipline. And there were two examples given, and one of them was in the outline for this week, which is David. And we see that David had a transgression. And so what was brought out here is that God's governmental forgiveness is related to the way that God manages, rules over, and deals with us. Mm-hmm. So when we sin against God, He will forgive us when we confess our sins to Him.
Right.
And our fellowship with Him can be restored, but He may change His way with us.
Right.
And we see that with David, because David, you know, he had a transgression, and he repented, and his fellowship with God was restored, but actually, some things happened, right? Actually, that the son born to Uriah's wife died, you know.
Amen.
And also, the sword did not depart from David's house.
Right.
He wasn't able to build the house.
Right.
Actually, it was Solomon, which was the issue of his repentance and the forgiveness. But for David himself, God disciplined him.
Right.
And he changed his way with him.
Amen.
And then we also see it with Moses in Numbers 20. Moses struck the rock. When he misrepresented God in his holy nature, he struck it twice when he was only supposed to strike it once. And so he offended God's holy nature and his divine economy. So actually, Moses lost the right to enter into the good land. And we see Moses as, you know, he was a friend of God, right? He led God's people out of Egypt all the way to the edge of the good land. But because Moses misrepresented God,
Amen.
God had to discipline him in his governmental administration.
Amen.
And
Amen.
So I just appreciate, and then there's an application to us. I'll just read these points. It says, we must learn to be generous to others and learn always to forgive. We criticize others lightly, condemn others easily, keep complaining about the conduct of others, and continue to count the ill treatment we receive from them. This will bring us under God's governmental hand.
Amen.
If we are severe toward others, God will also be severe toward us.
Right.
We have to learn to fear God, to revere God, to respect God, to honor God, to be in awe of God.
Amen.
When others are in trouble, it is the time for us to help them, not the time for us to criticize them.
Right.
Amen.
There are many brothers who have fallen miserably today for one reason only. They have criticized others too severely in the past. Many of their weaknesses today are the very weaknesses that they criticized in the past. We must be generous toward others if we want to avoid God's government. Yeah. And we learn to love and forbear one another.
Amen.
I just appreciate, you know, it's kind of the same thing. It's like, just we prove ourselves. We're not here, you know, proving others. And I just, oh Lord.
Amen.
We need to maybe learn how to fear God, revere God, respect God, honor God, and be in awe of God. Amen. Humble ourselves. I think it goes along with last week's message also. We're learning. Actually, the enemy is always there seeking to devour us. We have to learn to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And to not think so highly of ourselves, but to think of others more highly than ourselves.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says he gives grace to the humble. So enjoy that. All the offerings and all of the pictures in Leviticus are just shadows of Christ. And so they just point us to something more of the person or work of our Lord Jesus. And so when the Lord Jesus came down to this earth and he was crucified on the cross, he became an offering for our trespasses. And I would say that the point is not that we would understand all of the symbols and all of the pictures, but that we would each go to the Lord ourselves. Amen. And in the Psalms it says, O Jehovah, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You thoroughly search my path and my lying down. And you are acquainted with all of my ways. Your word is not yet on my tongue, and already you, O Jehovah, know it completely. And so, if we just say amen in the meetings, but we don't go before the Lord, at least before we go to bed tonight, then he really doesn't gain much from us.
Amen.
But I believe that if we each go to him before we go to bed tonight, to ask him to search us and to know our heart, then for his own sake, he will greatly bless that time.
Amen. Amen.
So yeah, I was helped a lot by all these people's fellowship. So, and I do think that we need to come to the Lord, and the Lord knows us, and so it's just like the Lord knows us, our personality, and our way. So I can come to the Lord, and I can like repent. One of the repent I came to the Lord is I used to be a single person, like just kind of away myself, kind of away from the congregation. So I realized the Lord really give different person really like different different personalities. So like a very, very, very daily example, like yesterday, my son, he did not sleep well, so he really wants a watermelon. So, and then just before our home meeting, so we are kind of maybe a little late, but I knew if I kept him at home, he probably gonna mess up one more electricities while just, drive him to get a watermelon. And then finally, okay, we'll go. My wife also agreed. My wife and him, like a more strong point like me, But they balance each other, so we finally go. And then in the shop, he suddenly, the watermelon he got, then he wants ice cream. And then my wife said, no, we have to run. So at that point, I think my wife has a point to stop him. So usually I'm too easy going. So, okay, we are already in the store. But actually, that time we should stop him. No ice cream. I'm happy that. So back home. So all these details, what I want to mention is, I come to the Lord, and as a family is also small like entity, and the church is also like a more big entity. But amen. we all should be functioning in a group. Yeah, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Some of the, I think, young people are also entering this message, right? The trespass offering this week. You know, if they have something like this year, you know, just be bold and stand up. This is not just an adults meeting, right? This is a planning meeting between the young people and adults. So before we conclude, you know, if you have a few minutes, just come up and share. Joshua, you want to try?
Let's John, day one, first John, can you read that one?
Afterwards, we should have some maybe younger brothers or sisters. Please share.
Amen.
If we say that we do not have sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
We say that we do not have sin.
Amen.
We are deceiving ourselves.
Amen.
And the truth is not in us.
We confess our sins.
He is faithful and righteous
to forgive us our sins.
Cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Thank you that we can confess our sins.
Amen.
Thank you that you are so faithful and righteous.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Thank you. We can confess our sins.
Amen.
Thank you. You are so faithful and righteous.
Amen.
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 Yes.
Righteous
giver
of life.
Amen.
Amen.
Faithful and righteous to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Thank you for forgiving us our sins.
Amen.
Cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
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 Amen. Right. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I was touched by the point of day one on the matter of constantly confessing our sins. And I liked his example. In the example, it said, you cannot say that because you washed your hands 2 weeks ago, you do not need to wash your hands anymore.
Amen.
I feel like that's sometimes our logic. Like, I only just confessed my sins at the spring conference.
I also enjoyed day one. So I enjoyed this line that
We do not need to be afraid of him knowing our sins, since he knows them already. So I enjoyed that, you know, as Nancy said, we have to come to the Lord every day to confess our sin. And, like, even if it's just, you know, a little thing, like, if it's big or little, we always need to come to him. And no matter how bad it is, no matter how little it is, you know, the Lord already knows everything that we've done. And so I enjoyed that he said, you know, why not just, like, if because we've already done it, why not just come to him and clear ourselves of this record? You know, like, if we don't, like, we should be more afraid of not coming to the Lord and not confessing our sins than we should be afraid of coming to him. Because when we do come to him, he will forgive us, like 1 John 1:9 says. So,
amen.
Amen. I enjoy that. Even every little thing, like what Megan's shared, we need to confess before the Lord. And, like, this week has just been full of experiences for me, because I just, like, realized that, like, I am really just full of sin. Like, in my conversations with, like, the sisters or, like, with my parents, like, there's sometimes I have this thought, like, and then sometimes, like, I get provoked, like, I have this one-second feeling of anger. But then I realize, like, oh, I'm angry in that 1 second, so I just kind of brush it away. But I really enjoy what David shared. He said that we can't excuse ourselves from every offense, from every, even a weakness, because all these are fruits of what is in us. It is the sinful nature in us. And so, like, so we can't just say, oh, it's okay to feel such a, to have such a feeling. But actually, it's not okay, because that is from the devil. And only, we need to really turn to the Lord and take him as our trespass offering. Only the one who can only resolve all this problem of sin for us. And I just enjoy that when we realize that we have trespasses and we sin before the Lord, we don't have to remain there. We can just continue and just continue to enjoy the Lord. And in our home meeting, we sang a hymn called Lord, Now I See. The last two lines says, when I fail, all I must do is just confess and go on enjoying you. I love believing you. So, like, I realized that, like, when we fail, all we just need to do is just confess and turn to the Lord.
Amen.
And just go on, like, go on enjoying the Lord, believing in the Lord, believing him as a trespass offering.
Amen.
The one who can, the one who, the Christ who is not only absolute, not only, like, you know, has such a perfect humanity, but the one who is offered up obedient to the cross. And no one else except for the Lord can fulfill this for us.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I really enjoyed all the sharing from the saints. One thing we have to admit, you know, for all of us, we have a problem, right?
Amen.
Inwardly, we have a sin, right? We have sin, the singular form, which is a nature that was, you know, from Satan when Adam and Eve took the fruit and ate the fruit. And outwardly, you know, the sin issues, sins, right? We have a conduct, you know, the deeds of a sin. And we sin every day. And a lot of times, Satan puts lies in us, right? It, you know, we kind of excuse ourselves, right? All those little things. I mean, sometimes we even excuse ourselves for the big things, right? So, you know, other people does this. So, but God has a purpose, right? His purpose is that to make us the same as he is. God is all holy. He is clean, right?
Amen.
He is holy. He is righteous.
Amen.
You know, but we're just poor vile sinners, right? Mm-hmm. We commit sins all the time. But how do we, you know, be just like God, right? How do we perfect it just like he is?
Amen.
This is through the offerings.
Amen.
Through the experience of all these offerings, right? And each of these offerings deal with a particular problem. I mean, on one hand, it satisfies God, you know, of all the, you know, the iniquities that the, you know, mankind has committed, has are short of, right? As Paul has stated in the Romans, right? All have sinned, fall short of the glory of God, and the wage of sin is death. Basically, death is the final destiny. But God wants, God is the God that imparts life into us, right? He doesn't want to see us, you know, being to the lake of fire. So he brought his only begotten son, you know, to die on our behalf, to save us and to redeem us, and to so this his salvation, the judicial salvation is one time for all, right? But then the organic salvation is daily, right? Is Amen. Throughout our lifetime. So by offering Christ as, you know, the reality of all these offerings, right? And then we actually get cleansed. We actually get little by little, right? Step by step. Don't take all of these things lightly. If we offer Christ, right? If we offer him as the sin offering, right? As the trespass offering. If we seriously deal with all these little things that are in our daily living, in the process, we're getting cleansed. So this is the way that God trains us, right? Amen. God trains us to be, to live a holy, clean, and rejoicing life.
Amen.
This is his purpose. I'm really appreciating this title. It says, taking Christ as our trespass offering. Amen. For God's purpose.
Amen.
Really need to, you know, put a line on this, for God's purpose.
Amen.
A lot of times, we take him, we also confess before the God, before God, right? But it is more for, I would say, to make our conscience to feel, you know, I would say, to cleanse our conscience. But it's not just for our own enjoyment, right? As Brother Auer mentioned at the very beginning.
Amen.
This is for God's purpose.
Amen.
In this process, our conscience gets cleansed that we will be more conscious next time around.
Amen.
We, you know, our conscience will be more sensitive next time around.
Amen.
And this is actually, in the process, we gain power, right? To be victorious in all kinds of temptation that is around us. So this is very important that we offer him daily. Offer him as a trespass offering daily.
Amen.
Right? In fact, this should be our practice. I think, you know, we have talked about so much about the trespass offering, but what is the application, right?
Yeah.
And what is the takeaway from, you know, for this whole week? We really need to offer him daily as the trespass offering. So I think a very good practice would be, I know some of the saints, they say when they take shower, they will say, Lord, cleanse me. We're not just cleansed, you know, externally, our bodily, right? Mm-hmm. Our body gets cleansed. But when we pray to the Lord, say, Lord, cleanse me, right? This is actually, I really appreciate actually this week in fact, this message also mentioned David's prayer in Psalm 51. We should really, you know, make this psalm our prayer.
Amen.
In fact, we should probably read it, you know, after, you know, we go back. I'm saying things. Actually, we should read it probably very frequently, you know. His prayer, just in Psalm 51, you can see there is a contrite spirit. David was praying to God, you know, to cleanse him. You know, he cleanses his after he committed this terrible sin that he prayed to the Lord. This, when we actually pray this prayer, when we enter, truly enter into the Spirit, I believe the Lord will do something in us. The Lord will cleanse us when we. I really appreciate this on the last day, right? The day six was talking about the marriage these three things, right? The three things is what? One is the transgression, right? Don't feel that we're you know, a lot of time we feel like we're in a victorious living. We're like, yeah, very vital. But sometimes the Lord will allow us to fail, right? So when this kind of transgression, we should not stay there. We should bring to our repentance, right?
Amen.
And this repentance will bring in forgiveness. And then these three things will bring us into this life cycle. And a lot of times this a particular thing may have been blocking our growth in life. So the Lord has to, we have to pray that the Lord will have a breakthrough. And, you know, don't be disappointed of any, you know, on one hand, we don't let those little things go away, right? We need to take seriously. But on the other hand, we should also not feel disappointed, right? Disheartened by our failures. We just have to turn to the Lord. Say, Lord, you know, forgive me. And the Lord will forgive us. And then we'll, you know, bring to this a positive fellowship with the Lord, and then gaining supply, and then we can go on. May Lord really, you know, bless with all of us, you know, through our daily practice, through our daily taking Him as our the reality of all the offerings, Amen. That we can go on, and then the church can be built. Praise Amen. The Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.